Good morning. This is Monday, March 11th. Have you ever discovered that what you wanted was not the best thing for you? That there was something more important than what you wanted for yourself? Now, we're continuing our study this week in the miracles of Jesus. And of course, we won't look at every one of Jesus' miracles, but the ones we've chosen for our study help us to see Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of God. And they also show us the character and compassion and love of Jesus. Now, the healing ministry of Jesus caused immense problems for him and for the disciples. Here's our text for today, Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowering the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, Capernaum was a small town along the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's still there today. Most of Jesus' earliest ministry happened in the region of Galilee. And Mark explains that very early in Jesus' ministry, already huge crowds were gathering to see him. This left Jesus overwhelmed and often exhausted. Sometimes he didn't even have the time for meals. He was kept so busy by the needs of the crowds. Now, the setting for this miracle is so shocking that it's been told in children's stories books. Imagine not being able to get to Jesus and digging through the roof of a house to lower someone down who is sick. This is more than jumping to the head of the line. It's a mixture of faith and desperation on the part of the paralyzed man and his friends. That's been said that Jesus never turned a needy person away. And it is true, but it's also true that his time was limited. He had 24-hour days just as we do, and he came up against the physical limits that we also experience. But these men are determined. Of course, we wonder if we have this sort of determination and even desperation when we're seeking Jesus. And are we also working to bring others to Jesus? Perhaps people who cannot bring themselves for one reason or another. Now, the strange thing we notice is that Jesus extends forgiveness to this man for his sin. Now, this is striking for several reasons that we'll begin to unpack today. First, the man does not ask for forgiveness. Clearly, the man desires physical healing. This is why his friends have brought him. So why does Jesus extend to him forgiveness? Well, Jesus does not give us what we want as much as what we need. I think we struggle with this when we come to God in prayer. We know what we want, and that's what we ask God for. But God knows more than we do. In the case of this man, Jesus is aware of sin in his life, a sin that needs to be addressed. Our physical needs are often at the forefront for us too. If Maslow is right with his hierarchy of needs, the physical needs come first. At least that's what we feel. This reminds me of the rescue mission, where before the men could get their free dinner, they had to sit in a room and listen to a preacher give a sermon. But often the men were so hungry they could only think of their next meal. They couldn't receive the message, even though the pastor had worked so diligently to prepare and deliver it. So why doesn't Jesus deal with the obvious, the physical need of this man? To Jesus, the sin of this man is far more pressing. It wouldn't be loving to heal the man physically and send him away carrying his burden of sin. Now for us, God sees the things that hurt us. He sees the suffering brought on by our sin. Yes, it sounds strange to say that. Sin causes suffering for us. Mary Carr, the American author, expressed it this way: The most privileged, comfortable person from the best family has already suffered the torments of the damned. I don't think any of us get off this planet without suffering enormously, she said. We are all heartbroken. As a pastor, I can see this in myself. The grief and sadness created by my sin, and I see it in others too. It's most easily visible in broken relationships, but we also see it in things like addictions. Now, I'm not trying to trivialize suffering, but to consider the baggage that comes along with our sin. The man Jesus heals is suffering from paralysis, but also from the pressure and suffering of sin. Now, we see a connection between the physical and the spiritual throughout Scripture. This is not a new theme. Here, for example, is the prophet Jeremiah. Your wound is incurable, your injury beyond healing. Why do you cry out over your wound, your pain that has no cure? It is your great guilt and your many sins. That's Jeremiah chapter 30. Indeed, we are a sin-sick people. And I know this sounds strange in an era where we rarely hear anyone speak of sin, except pastors. A few years back now, Bessel van der Kolk wrote a helpful book entitled The Body Keeps the Score. He shows how emotional trauma, what we've gone through, affects our heart rate, our emotional responses, and yes, our physical bodies. We know there's a connection between our emotional and spiritual and physical health. And I know we need to be careful. There's no formula for how much sin produces how much sickness, or which sins lead to which diseases. This doesn't mean if you are sick, you have sinned. It is rather that our physical and spiritual lives are bound up together in us as persons. One contributes to and influences the other. The reason is because we are whole people. And this is why the healing work of Jesus involves the whole person. And that also means that as Jesus provides us with his grace and forgiveness, we can experience an emotional and spiritual healing as well. This is what God wants for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you will not stop short of restoring us completely. Help us to see the power of your grace in our lives, for we pray in the name of Jesus.